Lord's really been helping us here at the church, and we need to keep praying till God breaks the chains of some and encourages us and gives us a burden for the lost, and not only the lost outside of our church, but those inside of our church. We raise our children in church, but until they get saved, they're lost. I mean, I know there's a grace period there, and I'm perfectly aware of that innocency. But when they get an age of accountability, they may know the system, but they got to know Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 10. We're going to teach to us and preach to us about these disciples the next few lessons. And we want to study the word of the Lord. And I found out that the Bible, all the Bible, all the study of the Bible has a daily practical application that'll make you better. If you'll take the book and you'll study it and you'll meditate on it and memorize what you can of it. The Bible is our sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, if you want to go to battle without a sword, just throw your Bible in the closet and forget it. But if you want your weapon, you've got to know and study the Bible. Now, I know I love preaching. I love preaching like we've heard this week. I've been shaking in here and preaching on Sunday morning sometimes. This morning I was up early. The time went back, and so instead of waking up at 4:10, I woke up at 3:10. So it gave me more time to toss and turn and got up and read. And I read some subjects that I'm not going to deal with this morning. But I love preaching. But I also love the study of God's Word. And one verse at a time, not overlooking anything. Last week we talked about Jesus christening or anointing or calling out his disciples, 12 special friends and followers and learners. That's what a disciple is, someone that listens to the teacher and learns from him. And I tell you, we have, don't get alarmed here, the visitors. We are probably the shortest Sunday morning service in the county. That's why we have this good crowd here this morning. They like to be, you know, get in front of the Methodists down at the bar, the food bar. The Bible's kind of like a vaccination. It'll do a lot of good in just a little pain, just a little, and you got it. But I noticed that the Christian world has tried so hard, it seems like, to separate themselves from Christ. And you say, preacher, you're off. Well, just humor me here a minute. I said the religious world has tried so hard to separate themselves from Jesus. I looked at a survey years ago, a year or so ago, and they'd done a survey about what people thought about Jesus Christ. And he got like an 85% approval rating. Isn't that good? In our world. And then they done a survey on what do you think about Christians. They didn't even get a 30% approval rating. You say, what has happened? We are losing something in translation here. Amen. You say, well, it's impossible for us. We're not Christ. No, we're not Christ. Everybody knows that, except maybe Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland or somebody. We're not Christ, but he is our example. How many knows what an example is for? Amen. It is to do like. That writer in the Middle Ages or whenever it was wrote the book, The Imitation of Christ. And I read the book, and it is a good book. But I got to dwelling on that, Brother Mark. And we are to imitate Christ in a sense. We are. That is true. But there's only one way it can be done. And that is if Christ lives in us and through us. Oh, I wish somebody help this preacher this morning. I'm going to preach a little bit on discipleship. But I want you to notice that the first thing, before I go into these disciples, and I want to study them all, and if you want to be studying these disciples, I want you to do that. I read several good books about the disciples, and there's a lot of, some history that's been, pretty documented about these disciples. But I want you to notice about them, they were called of the Lord. How many believes that your preachers and your disciples and you Christians have to be called of God? And God calls you out. And I'm not just going to talk about preachers here this morning, amen, but I'm going to talk to you about, amen, disciples. Those that do you remember when Jesus was in the house there at Bethany? And he had some great friends there. How many remembers the friends in Bethany? It was Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. And you remember when Jesus was there and they began to talk to him. And Martha was in the kitchen cooking. And Mary was where? At his feet, listening to his words. Listening to him teach, looking him in the face, and a lot of times I rebuke Martha in a way, but I don't want to rebuke Martha too bad, but I want to bring some attention this morning to Mary and where she was at in a relationship to our discipleship. And this is what Jesus said. Martha came out of the kitchen, and if anybody is not going to preach on kitchen workers, it's going to be me. I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. Can you imagine, last Sunday, somebody preaching on the kitchen workers and me trying to have my birthday? But here's the Son of God. Now Martha believed that he was the Son of God. And you right along down the road, she said, we know that thou art, at the last day, she believed in him. But Mary sat at his feet. Listen to what, here's what will make a difference in your life. And here's what Jesus said about Mary sitting at his feet. How many remember, the story, don't you? Now, I'm going to hurry on. We don't have long. But I'm going to hurry on. But you know what he said? Said, Mary. First he looked at her and he said, Martha, thou art cumbered about many things. Now, brother Mark, that was a slight rebuke in a way. You're cumbered. How many knows what to be cumbersome? I can't hardly wear an overcoat. The winter comes, I dread winter. I'm like Johnny Hank. He comes out of the winter in a just his shirt sleeves. He says he hates a coat, and he'll come out. Might be why he's running a fever this morning. I don't know. But I don't like a coat. You climb in a car, and you got that old coat, I get just about panic. But that's cumbersome, something heavy and all in the way. I tell you, if there's ever a time we don't need to be cumbered about many things, it's today. It's today. Now, I'm going to talk about discipleship a little as we move in here. Christ called these 12 out. I want to ask you something right here. How many of you this morning, now look, how many of you know Christ in a way that you are a volunteer this morning to be a disciple of the Lord? You've been called out, and he has called you to learn his doctrine, learn his truths, learn his behavior, learn his way. And then learn in such a way that brother, when somebody knows Christ and they look at you, they make a connection somewhere. We don't have to tell them on a loudspeaker in a soapbox, I'm a Christian, look at me. Huh? No, but the way we live our lives, you know what they said about the folks at Antioch? Not up here, they're good folks too, but you know what? They were first called what at Antioch? They were first called Christian. I did a little investigation. How in the world could that be? You know who went down there and had revival at Antioch? Barnabas. The apostles gave Barnabas his name. His first name his servant was Joseph. And the disciples got around him, and he was so impressive in his conduct and character that they changed his name. We're gonna call him. You ever have been around anybody named? Let me think of a name. Slim. Ain't nobody here named Slim. I know. Oh well, we're gonna change that because I was getting ready to something else. You ever been around anybody so much that they lie so much that instead of just calling them Slim, it was old Lion Slim? Huh? Sorry, Slim. He worked him out a name. These people got down there at Antioch and they acted in such a way that it reminded all of them people, it reminded them of who? Jesus Christ. And so they began to call them Christ Christians. It's kind of like an electrician. They are called an electrician because they deal with and work with electricity. They call them Christians. Amen. Not because they go into the church house. You can't hoard people in the church house as old rank sinners and they become a Christian just because they come through the portals of the church house. They got to be born into this. And so I want to talk to us a little bit about discipleship for 5 more minutes or so. Amen. But I want you to notice the first thing, they were called out. They were chosen by God. Amen. He handpicked them 12. I know he had more. You say he had more? Oh, he had many disciples. He was seen above 500 after his resurrection. He had many. Do you want to be a disciple? Hey, if you had to choose this morning, I have seen people work for the Lord in a sense and lose their relationship with the Lord because they were always in the kitchen and never at his feet. Now, you can't be a disciple unbalanced like that. She sat at his feet. And what did he say? He said, Martha, thou art cumbered about many things, but Mary has chosen what? The what? The good part. Now, when we look at our experience and in religion, we need to be careful that we choose the good part. And that is sitting at his feet, looking in his face, hearing his words, being in his presence. Amen. Is that right? Now, if you want to study why Mary was this way, Mary had been a horrible sinner. Huh? I said, you just study her out. She had been a horrible sinner. She had washed the Lord's feet with her tears, dried them with the hair of her hand. She knew what she was and what Christ had done for her. I wonder this morning, who in this house knows? Who in this house knows what you were and what Christ has made you? Because we were forgiven much, what should we do? Love much. And, you know, a lot of times you think, well, brother, I mean, I've known preachers. I love them. They, and I'm not being critical and trying to act like I know everything. I sure don't. But, you know, sometimes I know people, and I know how it is in the ministry. You know, the phone rings all the time. There's always somewhere to go and something to do. And then when if no one's calling, you don't need to go anywhere and go somewhere, then there's always... You know, you got, hey, where do you think sermons come from, you know? I mean, I don't know. I don't think people have a clue. You've got to know what you're talking about. You got to read your Bible. And then what about praying to get anointed? Amen. You really, if the truth was known, you could just pray all day long and not pray enough. But if you're not careful, if we're not careful, we'll get so involved in life that we'll forget to live. I don't know if anybody understands this deep preaching or not. How many know what I'm talking about? Huh? Somebody said the other day, talking about health care, and it says you spend all, work all your life. To I forget exactly how they said it. I read it. Some guy made this statement. You spend all your life building up your funds And then when you get there, you spend all of your funds trying to get your health back that you wrecked building up all them funds. Now, I didn't say that. A preacher didn't say that. It was just somebody talking about health care. And he just made that comment, how you work all your life to get that. And then you've broke yourself, and now you're down it goes as you pay, trying to keep yourself alive. I'm going to tell you something. If we spend too much time involved, life consisteth not in the abundance of the things we possess. We've got to find time to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what he has to say. And the Bible said that was the good part. Now, real quickly here, these disciples were called out, and then they were given power. And we talked to you last Sunday or a couple Sundays ago about the power to cast out unclean spirits. And then the rest of that, it said, if you're reading it, it says to heal all manner of diseases. Amen. Christ empowered them. I preached a message years ago on what happened to the power. You remember those? Jesus coming down out of the mountain, and those disciples were there, and a man brought a son to him and said, "We brought him to your disciples. They could not cast him out." But he did I not just read to you? He gave them power to cast out devils. But here's a boy that they brought him to the disciples, and they came up. And I've done, I'll be honest with you, I've done this. I've come and preached my guts out, and people just sit and nothing move and no response and nobody getting saved. And I want to say, "Lord, why is this not working?" You ever ask yourself that question? You'd rather never sing and pray and sing and get up and nothing happens? It happens to me all the time. And a lot of times you just jump on you bunch of dead heads. Got a preacher like this, and y'all just said, "Nah." You can't say that. You look inside, you say, "What am I missing here?" That you know, the Bible said that his word would not return in him void. And I look at this power. I know y'all, this is no good. I hope it don't ruin your lunch. Amen. But I will tell you, he gave them power. And now here's a boy, and they ask him the question. They came up to Jesus, and they said, "Lord, why could we not cast him out?" After, they'd been initiated to do it. And of course, y'all know the story, don't you? Y'all know what he said. He rebuked them for their unbelief. You got to have faith. And then he said, "These kind come out only by prayer and fasting." Now you say, "Well, do we have to pray and fast?" Well, only if you want that kind to come out. And I'll tell you, we've got a lot of that kind in the world today. And you say, "Amen." How many's had a good time this morning? Would you rather I got Sister Valon sing again? It was going better when she was singing. Huh? This is right. Listen, how many wants to learn? He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." I tell you, Christian people are like these kids at school. My little girl, sweet as she is, I say, "Honey, you like school?" "Nope." I mean, she don't even pray about it. She just says, "Nope." Huh? And I know it's not you, Sister Dwan, is it? Huh? No, she likes you. She tells me, "I like my teachers, I like my friends, but I just don't like school." She even likes lunch. Where does she get that stuff? But I think we're like Christians sometimes. We don't want to learn. Because if we learn, we may have to change our ways. If we learn a better way, we may have to change our ways. If we're doing things one way and it's not the way of the Lord, and we learn from him and he says that's not the right way to do it. Did you ever work with somebody that you knew a better way but you couldn't convince them of it? "I'm going to do it his way. I've always done it. What if it's not right? What's the way I think it ought to be?" But what if you're thinking, God bless your sacred heart, what if your thinking's wrong? God forbid. I think we ought to learn. I think we ought to find out what the Lord has to say about it. And we do that by sitting at his feet. We need his power. Amen. We need what he can give us. And the Bible said, he told his disciples, "Freely you have received." I wonder if there's anybody in here that has received anything at all from the Lord. You say, "Well, I can't do that for God. Can't carry a tune in the sack." Now, don't stop nobody from singing around here, does it? Huh? Don't me. just keep right on going. Huh? I usually cross up with the music before I'm done somewhere. I want to ask you this morning, amen, those two men going up to our prayer, and the man was asking for alms, and they said, silver and gold have I none. And is that the end of the story? What such as I have. I want to ask you a personal question. What do you have this morning? I know you don't have as much silver and gold as you had, because we got some of it. But what do you have? But such as I have, give I thee. What is it? And this is what the Lord had given them. He had gave them power, amen, to heal the sick. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know what he did? He got up and walked. And I'll tell you this right now. You may not believe it. I'm done. I'm closing right now. But I'm going to tell you what. He was not just a planted shyster that some 10 evangelists had hauled around on the back of the bus, amen, to go in there on crutches and come out running. Now, they do that, you know. This one was not a plant. Amen. This was a real man that had been crippled and sat there by the gate. And when they prayed for him, he jumped up, leaping, running into the temple. Amen. I'd sure like to have whatever power the Lord wants me to have, wouldn't you? Huh? I remember a day when Oral Roberts, God used him and people, but then he built a hospital. He said, well, you're being pretty sarcastic here today. I'm not. I'm not against hospitals. You know, I see a lot of you in here that they worked on you and you're still here. But don't you ever forget that the prayers of the saints, amen, have went up for a lot of sick folks too. And I'll tell you, I know we're going to die someday. Amen, I know we are. And you know, as sinful and disease-ridden as this world is, amen, something's liable to get on us that kills us. But I also know that the Bible said the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord shall raise them up. How many believes that this morning? I know there's that God wants us to pray for our sick people. Yes, he does. And he wants us to use the oil as a symbol. It ain't in the quantity of oil. I mean, I know. If God moves on somebody to pour a 5-gallon bucket over me, I'm not going to. If it's God, and you know, if that's what. But, you know, a little dab will do you if you got faith. Well, how many can sing that old song with me? I want to know more about my Savior. Is that the way it goes? I want to know more, stand with me, about my Lord. I want to know more about that. I'm going to receive as my reward. I want to know more about that homeland. I mean to go there someday, somehow, and after I reach that heavenly city, I mean to know more than I know now. How many would the preacher this morning say, preacher, by this time next Sunday, I'd like to know more than I know now about the Lord? Huh? We've run too long on what we know and what somebody else has said and what Grandpa knew. We need to learn some more about the Lord. 123 people here today, had 150 last Sunday. We need to get the loaves and fishes back out, that's all I can say. Huh? 17:39-70. God, we thank you for the audience today. Thank you for the Word of God. Help us, God, to be disciples that are called and commissioned and anointed by the Holy Ghost. Give us power over the devil and the unclean spirits. God, help us to be able to cast out the enemy and raise up Christ. Help us, Lord, to pray for the sick and see them recover. Help us, Lord, not to be intimidated by the devil and all his diseases. But let us, Lord, to come boldly into the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find help in time of trouble. Lord, I pray you'd build faith in this little church house here. God, that we could help rescue. Lord, if we could, some way or another, somebody could have believed God. Lord, for those innocent ones that are dying. Lord, if it's your will, some way, let the Spirit of Christ come in us, that we could lead the lost to you and give some poor sick soul some relief from their pain and agony. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. God bless you.